from now. New research by Kerry historian and author Owen O'Shea has identified at least 31 Free State soldiers from Kerry who died during the Irish Civil War. Drawing on information contained in recently published archive material and other sources, Owen O'Shea has compiled a list of the Kerry natives who died in combat or in accidents while on duty as members of the Free State Army in 1922 and 1923, and says their story deserves to be told. I caught up with him and I asked him, is it time for an appropriate recognition of the numbers, and asked him who exactly died serving the Free State Army in this turbulent period.
Yes, I think that's a fair point. I think the numbers approximately in terms of deaths in Kerry during the Civil War is it's about 85 or 6 Free State soldiers on that side of the divide, and about 73 or 4 on the anti-treaty IRA side. So in purely numerical terms, there were more Free State deaths in Kerry in that period. But I suppose if you look at the Civil War at this remove, I suppose if the centenary of the period has taught us anything, I suppose it's nothing is very simple when it comes to the Civil War and the Civil War in Kerry in particular. And in the research I've been doing in recent years and others have been doing, I've kind of been struck, I suppose, by how the narrative has been dominated to some extent by those on the Republican side who died. And we had a recent conference there in Tralee, and it was, I think, rightly suggested that the anti-treaty side might not have won the Civil War, but they won the memory war. And I suppose that's evident to some extent in the number of memorials and around the county and the commemorations that have been held recently, which have no issue with whatsoever. The men that were being commemorated died in fighting for the Republic that they believed in. But I suppose in reading all of the accounts of those who died on both sides of the conflict, I kind of kept asking myself, who were the Kerry men? And women, indeed, who took a different stance at the time and supported the treaty and the Free State, and particularly how many from Kerry in the Free State Army were killed, because, as I say, it was about 86 deaths on the Free State side in Kerry in total. But I've, through various sources and archives and material that's become available in recent years, have found at least 31 Kerry natives who were members of the Free State Army who died either in their native county or in other parts of the country. I think, you know, I kept asking myself, really, I suppose, why is so little known about these men, and why are so many of them forgotten about 100 years later?
Mm. And you go into particularly, I suppose, the age profile of them. Average age, just 21.
Yeah, I suppose that's one of the most shocking aspects of the Civil War generally. And even, as I've said before, you know, on both sides of the conflict, in many cases, a lot of the people who died were, you could really say, they were teenagers. They were in their late teens, 18, 19, 20, on both sides of the conflict. And, you know, the 31 Free State Army men from Kerry that I looked at, I worked out their average age to be about 21 when they were killed. So these were, you know, very, very young men, and it was a loss of, if nothing else, it was a loss of young men to their families, you know. And as I say, you know, a lot of them aren't known. I suppose perhaps the Scarty and O'Connor brothers in Kinmare are probably the best known, because they were brothers, and killed in their home in Kinmare in September 22. But you know, I kind of asked myself, what about the other Kerrymen at the time who were killed? You know, just to give you a few examples, Stephen Canty, he was from Causeway, Drumnacorra in Causeway, and he was just 21 when he was shot dead in Innocent, County Clare, just 2 weeks before he was due to get married. In the south of the county, if you take like Michael O'Donoghue, he was only 18 when he was beaten up by the IRA near Glen Bay in June 23, and he died in hospital in Tralee 2 months later. You know, another one, John O'Donoghue from Scarta Glen, he was shot at Ohermung near Carsevine in an ambush, and his family was left impoverished after the war, and three of his siblings had to emigrate because he was the breadwinner, and they were left, you know, struggling to maintain an income. So I just kind of asked myself, and would ask people generally, you know, are those young Kerrymen any less deserving of being remembered you know, as any 18 or 19 or 20 year old on the anti-treaty side who was killed. You know, even the very first casualty of the Civil War in Kerry was a Free State Army soldier from Listowel, Edward Sheehy, and we don't really hear much about him. He was only 21 when he died on the first day the Civil War broke out in Kerry on the 30th of June. You know, and as I say, you know, there are so many other examples that I've listed on a list that I've published about people who've died in combat. As well as those, there were many, unfortunately, there were many Free State soldiers killed in accidents. And one of the issues at the time, I suppose, is people were unfamiliar with handling firearms. And you have a lot of soldiers who were accidentally shot by fellow soldiers. I just, incident one, John Looney, who was a young man from Ballyhar, he was an army private, and he was killed in Killorglin when another soldier accidentally discharged his weapon. So, you know, we know little, or they haven't been commemorated, I suppose, 100 years on in any meaningful way. There were others, there were three army members that I identified that were killed by their own army and killed by their own superior officers, and probably maybe one of the best known of those is Daniel Shukru, who was a native of Tralee, and he was shot dead in the basement of the Great Southern Hotel in Killarney in March 23 by his fellow soldiers, because it was alleged he was smuggling food and information to IRA prisoners. So there are those sort of, I suppose, personal and human stories behind all of these figures that I think deserve maybe more attention.
Yeah, it was a time of great turmoil, and as you said, a time when you could be shot by your own side for just smuggling food to somebody else. Oh, the young men who died as well, many of them joined after the War of Independence, and they weren't as necessarily, perhaps, maybe some of them, not necessarily motivated by any political ends, but just to get a job, a paying job, in a very difficult time in Ireland.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you look at what these men had in common, as I say, we all know that, or I've said already, they were all quite young. Most of them, yes, enlisted in the army either shortly before or after the Civil War began. Now, many of them had been members of the IRA during the War of Independence, but you can see if you read the accounts of that they've written, you know, that their parents wrote and their siblings wrote in support of pension applications, you can see that many young men at this time, when the country was affected significantly by unemployment and poverty, that many were driven to join the Free State Army for purely financial reasons and the need to secure employment. And, you know, we can't sort of dismiss that at this remove as a motivation for joining an army. Many of them, I mean, if you read some of the accounts as well, many of them maybe knew little or had little impression of politics. And there's one of the letters I came across where a father writes about his young son who was killed, and he said, "My young son knew little about the treaty and didn't know the difference between pro-treaty or anti-treaty. He just wanted to earn an income and support his mother and father." So I suppose you could say that in many cases the motivation of these young men to join the Free State Army was personal rather than political. And you know, who are we at this remove to sort of cast aspersions on that as a valid motivation?
You mentioned the memory war there afterwards and the nature of the atrocities and how that worked its way out through the history of the years that went past. Does this information, particularly the number of Kerry killed and Kerry men killed on the Free State side, dispel the impression that was there from the years gone by since then, that this was an invading force of primarily Dublin Guards coming in to quell the Civil War and the irregulars in Kerry?
I think it does, because all of the 31 men I've identified, I think possibly with one exception, none of them were members of the Dublin Guard. There is maybe an assumption and an incorrect assumption that the vast majority of Free State soldiers in Kerry at this time were outsiders. The fact is that they weren't. The majority of them were Kerry natives who had joined, as I say, for whatever motivations they saw fit. But the point I made when I spoke at Knocknagoshal a few weeks ago was that you cannot, I suppose, nobody is disputing that Paddy O'Daly and the Dublin Guard and the senior officers in the Kerry command of the Free State Army at the time engaged in monstrous activities, extrajudicial murder, appalling treatment of prisoners. That has all been actions of their superiors, which have been well documented, and which I and others have documented. But I think what I'd say to people is you have to read the accounts of that are there in the military archives now that have been digitised and made available, to really get a better understanding of, if you like, the personal stories and the human suffering that endured on both sides of the conflict, but not just on the anti-treaty side, on the Free State Army side as well.
Yeah, and what do you say to those who say, look, you need to leave this, let sleeping dogs lie, and notwithstanding what you said, I suppose, about the memory war, we have one monument at Knocknagashal, which a number of times has been vandalised, unfortunately. Or have we reached the time now, 100 years on, with that extra information you're talking about there, the personal stories of the people who died and who they left behind, that it is time that we can have a monument without controversy to the Free State dead of the Civil War in this county?
Well, I can understand that most of the people listening to me saying this will probably balk at the idea of any sort of a memorial or monument to a Free State Army in Kerry, which will forever be synonymous with some of the most appalling atrocities carried out during the Civil War. My approach, really, and my only motivation in all of this, as somebody who's interested in history and has researched this period and has read the archive accounts, is that, you know, to present the facts and look at the facts. And the fact is that 31 young men from Kerry, at least 31 young men, were killed while serving the Free State Army in 22 and 23. And the fact is, I would argue, with a few exceptions, is that they have been ignored and forgotten about. And I approach all of this really with more of an interest in the human stories of the people involved rather than the kind of politics of it all, because we have to get behind...
You're commemorating those who died and those who were killed, not the Free State Army or the actions of the superiors of that army in Kerry in that period.
Correct. I think nobody's suggesting for a moment, and I'm certainly amateur, that we need a monument or a memorial of any kind in the county to the Free State Army, because, you know, the army as an institution was responsible for the most heinous crimes, and the most heinous of those crimes were committed in Kerry. But, you know, in the same way that we have memorial. And I've spoken to families on both sides of the conflict in Kerry, and I've spoken to people on the pro-treaty and the Free State Army side, and even though they would be publicly reluctant to say it, they've told me that they feel their relatives, you know, who for whatever motivations joined the Free State Army, that they've been written out of history. And I think you said a moment ago about, you know, letting sleeping dogs lie. Yes, it, look, 100 years on, we've commemorated the Civil War in many respects, but I think we need to keep talking about history, and we need to keep talking about the Civil War. And, you know, people can still hold their very strong political views on the Civil War while having kind of the decency and courtesy to acknowledge the hurt on all sides. And we have, I believe, kind of as people from Kerry that are living in Kerry 100 years later, you know, I think we're obliged to remember all those who died in the Civil War in Kerry, whether they be Free State, Republican or civilian. And there were 13 or 14 civilians killed as well. And hopefully we've progress to a stage where we can at least say, kind of 100 years on, that yes, there were appalling things done in Kerry in the name of the Free State, and indeed in the name of the Republic on the other side of the conflict. But let's look at the human toll of all of this, and the toll on ordinary families and both sides. And I think if we can have that conversation in a mature and respectful way, I don't think we've anything particularly to lose. I think we've only everything to gain if we're to progress and to continue the healing after, you know, 100 years on from this dreadful period in our history.